John Walling here. Glad to meet with you again today. Glad you're staying with us in these Bible studies. We reached the 14th verse of Revelation chapter 3, where we read, "Under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Now, we have read six letters already, and this is the seventh, written to seven actual churches, but we believe giving us a preview of the condition of the church, the universal church, the church which is his body, but including, of course, profession, because there are those who profess to be his who are not really his, covering the whole history of the church from the day of Pentecost on down until the return of the Lord. And this last state of the church, like the close of every dispensation, every age the Lord's dealing with people, this last stage is a sad one. Everything that man has done ends in failure. This doesn't mean that God has failed. The Lord Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." But the professing church goes downhill until you find a state like this, described in Laodicea. Now, Laodicea comes from a compound term which may be translated the rights of the people, or the rights of the laity. We live in democratic days, and we're thankful for the government of our country, but it's very wrong to assume that things can be settled in the local church by a democratic forum. God has given us his word. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and he has placed order in the hands of elder brethren in each local company of believers. And God's way is that we be subject to him, our head, subject to his word, and subject to those who are our leaders. This is very unpopular today. Very few people are willing to be subject to anything. This is the condition in the church at the close of this age, and he addresses them under the title of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now the Amen marks him out as the one who is definite, who is what he is. Amen means so be it, or it is so. The faithful and true witness is in contrast to the Laodiceans, who are neither faithful nor true. And he is called the beginning of the creation of God, not because he was created, for this is blasphemy, he was not created, but he is the beginning in the sense of being the originator himself. He is the beginning. He is the source. The Lord Jesus Christ is none other than God the Son, the creator of all things. He wants us to know who he is. He wants us to know his authority. And those who reject this authority, of course, are not Christians at all. If thou shalt confess that with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now notice their condition. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, lukewarm water is a natural emetic, and that's just what the Lord is saying. You make me sick to my stomach. I'll tell you, friends, it's a very serious thing to profess the name of Christ and then not be what the Lord intended us to be. If you have claimed to be a Christian and you know that you're not genuine, give it up. You haven't anything anyway. Give it up. Acknowledge that you've never been born again. And be willing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own Savior. Be on one side or the other. Don't be a fence straddler. Now these people not only were lukewarm, they stood for nothing, but they were perfectly satisfied with their condition. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And this is the state in the professing church today, pride, self-satisfaction. And all the time that they were saying this, the Lord Jesus was standing outside the door. He was not welcome in a church that professed to be his. Now the Lord may be outside of your life, and he may be outside of your church, and you may not even miss him. Why, they said, we're rich in increase of goods. We don't need anything. And all the time the Lord said, thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, what can be done? Well, if they would recognize their condition, he counsels them to buy of me, he says, gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. And the true riches have to come from the Lord Jesus. The Lord could make you rich right this moment. If you would receive him as your Savior, he would give you eternal life and a home in heaven. He would make you rich with the gold of heaven. And then white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. God clothed our first parents in the garden when they had sinned against him. We're told that the prodigal son was clothed with a robe out of the father's own house when he came back, an acknowledgment of his sin and shame. And you could be clothed and made fit for the presence of God, dressed in the righteousness of God in Christ. And then he says, anoint thine eyes with eyesight that thou mayest see. If you really want to see things as they are, the Lord will have to open your eyes, just as he opened the eyes of the blind when he was here on earth. Now, you may be a very intelligent person, and you may be very astute as to this world's knowledge. But if you have never received Christ as your Savior, you do not see things as they really are. And you need your eyes opened. Notice that the Lord says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So there were some real children of God among these. Only his children are chastened, according to Hebrews chapter 12. Real children of God among the Laodiceans, yes. Where are you? You're a child of God, are you? Are the people with whom you're associated more like Laodicea than they are like Philadelphia? Then let me ask you, what are you doing there? Oh, I know it's the church that your people have been in, the one that you've been associated with for years, but if you don't belong there, you don't belong there. Why not find out where the Lord wants you? Remember, he loves you. He loves you enough to give himself for you. Doesn't he have a right to your loyalty? Don't you owe it to him to be where he wants you to be? Be zealous, therefore, and repent, he says. You see, Christians have to repent of the things that they do wrong, as well as the unsaved. We don't have to be saved over again, but we do have to acknowledge wherein we're wrong and return to him in confession. Now notice his position in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. Now, first of all, this is an individual thing. The Lord wants to come into the individual life. This is any person hearing his voice and open the door. Have you ever received Christ as your Savior, according to John 1:12? As many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. Has this happened? Yes, you say, I believe I have trusted Christ. All right, let me ask you this. Does the Lord really have his place in your life? Have you given him the place of Lord of your life? Are you permitting him to take charge of your life? Would you let him make the choices for you in your life? Well, why not open the door and invite him in? In the sense of giving him control of things. Well, you say, I'm afraid he would rob me. Ah, that's because you don't know him. He wants to bring a supper. He wants to bring a feast. And sup with you, and you with him. Fellowship with the Lord. Well, there's nothing any better. And why miss out on this? But then, this can be applied to the church, too. For the Lord is knocking at the door of those who profess his name. Does he have his place? Where you are associated, can the Lord Jesus really take charge? Or is somebody else in charge? Does the Word of God really guide Or would the Word of God be out of place? Would they rather go by the books, the manuals, and the various bylaws, and so on? Well, the Lord Jesus is knocking. I hope you'll hear his knock, and I hope you'll open the door. Now, the promise to the overcomers is to sit with him in his throne. And those who really believe the Lord Jesus as Savior are asked to suffer with him now, and if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. You may belong to the Lord, but you may not be taking your place with him and suffering with him. And therefore, you may someday find that you are not given a place on the throne with him. Now, you'll be in heaven and you'll be happy, but only those who take their stand with the Lord and suffer with him, in this sense, are going to reign with him. This is the suffering time, and the reign time is coming by and by. Now, in our studies through Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we have noticed these six churches depict the history of the church from the first century right on down until the Lord comes back. The last four of these churches have a mention of the return of the Lord, which would indicate that these four go on together to the end. Thyatira stands for the papacy, Sardis stands for dead Protestantism, Philadelphia stands for those who are honestly seeking to go by his word, and Laodicea stands for the lukewarm apathy and those who are not true to the Lord at the close of this age. Where do you belong? Where do you stand? And if you see that you're in the wrong place, are you willing to make a correction? Are you willing to make a change? Are you willing to be what he would like you to be? Father, bless thy word to us. Again, we ask for salvation for those who are not saved, that they may see that Christ paid it all, and for blessing on thy dear children, that they might make room for our blessed Lord in their lives. We ask it in his name. Amen.